Today, Chof Tes Shvat is the yard site of the Alter from Slabodka. Passed away 27, so we're talking now 92 years, 92nd yard site, no?
Yeah.
And besides the, I think, the immense debt of gratitude that we have towards what he accomplished in the world, and specifically the Messiah that relates to us in terms of David Leibowitz, who was a Talmud of his, and then his son, the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Penach Leibowitz, who's, you know, and that's the tradition that we attempt to follow. But he really had, in the last generations, maybe the greatest impact on the world, because wherever you turn, certainly in the yeshiva world, you find that the next generation after him was, the world was built by his Talmidim, whether it was a Rav Kotler, or a Rav Rudeman, or Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, or Rav Hutner, or Rav David Leibowitz, or even Rav Shlema Hyman, or I think even Rav Avraham Kalmanovich had a shaychus there. Many, many people passed through Slabodka. Rav Moshe Feinstein's two Rebbeim, Rav Pesach Pruskin and Rabbitzer Zalman Meltzer were both Talmidim of Slabodka. So he had, I mean, his Talmidim literally built the world as we see it, as we know it today. The major Moistis HaTorah, the major Rosh Hashivas, the major Gedolim. An enormous impact. And he was like, it was in a different class, the way the people that knew him describe him. Like,
who was this?
The Alter from Slabodka. And he, Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. And he was like, they described as a very beautiful piece where one of the Talmidim describes, it was as if, they felt as if he stood with his feet on earth, but he was drawing from the heavens to share the beauty and the inspiration and the meaning with his Talmidim. Like, he was down to earth, he was realistic, he was a pikeach nifla, but yet his spiritual heights were so lofty that he just like connected them, you know, brought, and the way he put it is, I brought down the heavens to them, you know, and they felt this uplifting sense of who they are. We're told, I heard it from my father-in-law, that although he wasn't mamish a Talmud by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he was more a Talmud, like they consider him like a Talmud chover to Rabbi Simcha Zisel, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael, but he spoke to Rabbi Yisrael and he asked him for guidance in making a yeshiva. This when he was about to start the yeshiva, and he basically told him the posuk. We say it's in the Haftarah of Yom Kippur, Lahachis Nefesh Sholim, Lahachis Lev Nidkoyim, that the concept of the yeshiva is to breathe life, is to uplift broken down spirits and people that are diminished and are hit and are downtrodden, and to be able to infuse life in them and uplift them. And that really is what he did. It was in a tkufa there that the yeshiva world was, you know, we talk about the glorious days of Europe with the big yeshivas. All the big yeshivas in Europe didn't have as many Talmidim as one quarter of one of the biggest yeshivas today in America or in Eretz Yisrael, for that matter. It was like, it was a small, and it wasn't exactly that a yeshiva man was very respected in those days. You know, it was a very difficult time, and Haskalah was rampant, and and it was maybe towards the end of it, but it was had very powerful influence, and he took these people and just uplifted them above everything, that all the pchisus and all the lowliness and all the depression that they had, and uplifted them higher and higher. And based on what he heard from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, I assume that this special emphasis on letting people know their own chashivus, that they were created b'tzelem elokim, what it means to be created b'tzelem elokim, what it means that a human being is godly, what it means that a human being is molded, his seichel, his mind, his neshoma. Neshoma is a chelek elekamimal, and he exists at this almost godly human being. Ad kedei kach, and I've mentioned many times, I heard it from the Rosh Hashiva, and I also heard it from Chaim Shmulev, it's the same word. When the Torah says, Kedoshim Tihyu, so there's, I think, a Sifri that says, Kedoshim Tihyu, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So the Sifri says, Kedoshim Tihyu, so Yochol Kamoini. And the Torah says, you should be Kedoshim like me, Kodosh, like Hashem. It says, Kedoshim Tihyu, you should be Kodosh. So the Chazal say, you might think you should be mamish like Hashem. Talmud lema ani Hashem elokeichem. Not quite. And they both pointed out that there seems to be a havamina, that a human being, if he's told by the Torah that he should reach Kedusha, which Kedusha means infinite levels of separateness beyond, above and beyond, in shlemus, beyond what anyone could imagine. And it says, if he's told Kedoshim Tihyu, he might think I should be mamish like Hashem. Talmud Loimer, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Not quite. So, I mean, such a havamina, that's the godless that a person has. And he inspired his Talmidim, and I guess a generation, with that sense of how great they are, of who they are, of what it means to be created, B'Tselem Elokim. And it uplifted them. They felt good about themselves. They felt proud of what they were doing in a world that may have looked down upon them. And, you know, then university became very popular then, and with the whole Haskalah. And what are you doing? You know, you're kvetching a bank. You know, you're squeezing the bench in the Beis Medrash. So, but yet they elevated them to feel so proud of themselves and such a sense of godless ha'odom, and not only in general terms, but in terms of the shmuzin that he said and the concepts that he gave over, that elevating man to this level of mamish, look at himself as if he was this godly type of a human being, which really made him feel good about himself, proud about himself, and really motivated people to give of themselves and to dedicate themselves to learning and to a life of continued learning and avodas Hashem and harbotzas Torah. He also had a very, very special emphasis on the responsibility for Klal Yisrael. That he infused the Talmidim with this sense of what it means to be Marbitz Torah, what it means to build Torah. It's well known that the Alta had a hand in the development of most of the yeshivas in Europe, where he sent his best Talmidim to different places to be mechazik and to create yeshivas and to help strengthen yeshivas, to Telz and to Mir, and in Slutsk they made a yeshiva where he sent the Yad HaChazaka, 14 of his best Talmidim he sent, and Rasin, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, the son of Reb Chaim, made a yeshiva there, so he sent his Talmidim there to be mechazik and to establish the yeshiva. And it was a total sense of selflessness just for Klal Yisrael to do and to give and to be mashpia and to teach and to be marbitz Torah. And there was no such thing as his yeshiva and his moysid and his kovet and his, they say his name never appeared on a piece of stationery of the yeshiva. It's like, you know, he didn't take or didn't declare himself as in an official position, because it was just about the Avodas HaKodesh and not about anything. It didn't want that to influence it. In fact, it's known that when he was yet in Kelm, by Simchas Yisrael, that the authorities came in, the police, whatever, whoever the authorities were, and they wanted to know, where is the head of this institution, the dean or whatever they called him, I don't know. So he wanted to protect Reb Simchas Yisrael, so he said, that's me. And they took him actually to jail, whatever, I got him out, I guess, whatever it was. And then he had tainus on himself. He says, maybe I did it not to protect Reb Simchas Yisrael, only to be able to say the words, I'm the head of the institution. Now, the level of purity that he demanded of himself, and I assume that that's part of the way he conducted the yeshiva, that, you know, not put my name on the stationery, not to look at it like it's mine. It's and giving of it, sharing, like sending his Talmidim. I mean, at the best Talmidim, we know in certain places he sent, I know the names of some of these Talmidim, were his biggest and his best Talmidim that he sent to these places at great cost to his own yeshiva. But like, this is what it's about. It's not about me. It's not about my moysid. It's about Klal Yisrael. It's about Abutz Esther. It's about Kiddush Hashem. It's about Kovod Shamayim. And that's all. And that with such a pure sense of that, if he once had the situation, this actually before when he was younger, that no, I can't, maybe I just wanted to hear those words, that maybe that's, who knows. I mean, this, it was like, it was in a different world, in a different league, a different world, a whole different, you know, there's one medrash, which I think is very telling about the balance that he established in Slabodka. The truth is that when Rabbi Yisrael Salanta came out with a maimer about the koilalim, about the chashivus of learning, continued learning, which, by the way, was not very popular at that time. The weren't koilalim all over the place like you have today. It was a whole different world. And so they asked the Alta to write a hakdoma. So in the Hakdoma, he brings the following chazal. It's a medrash, in the Yalkut Shemoni brings it in the Maisa Pilegesh Begiva, in Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel. So it says that that there was a Maisa Pilegesh Begiva, and they didn't take in this, they came, didn't take in this Pilegesh, and she had to stay outside, and she was killed, and a body was sent all over Eretz Yisrael, pieces, whatever, old Maisa, and a battle ensued, and 70,000 people from Shevet Binyamin were killed. And Chazal say, Mi horagoysam? Who's responsible for the death of these 70,000 people? Sanhedrin gedoylo shehinyach Moshe. The Sanhedrin that Moshe Rabbeinu left over when they came into Eretz Yisrael. This is when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And I think it says Yeshua Pinchas were also included in that Sanhedrin. So the Medrash says, why? Why are they accused, considered responsible for this tragic, the deaths of 70,000 members of Shevet Binyamin, which came from that battle that ensued because of this Maisa with the Pilegesh? So the Medrash continues and says, because when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, they came in, they said, Sholom olay nafshi, havi mamayik be'esek v'asoik b'toira, kol echod ve'echod yoshav tachas gafno v'tein osoy. They sat down in their vineyard or under their fig tree, and they said, Sholom olay nafshi, havi mamayik be'esek v'asoik b'toira. They brought a riot from the Mishnah. You have to sit and learn. I shouldn't get involved in any politics and any communal affairs. I got to sit and learn. And really, they made a mistake. They should have gotten themselves ready and traveled from one end of Eretz Yisrael to the other to teach Derech Eretz. And since they didn't, and because of that lack of Derech Eretz, this Maisa, which was a lack of Achnosos Orchim, taking in the Pilegesh, this tragic Maisa took place. And because of that, 70,000 people of Shevet Binyamin were killed. Mi hora goyisam? Who's responsible for them? The Sanhedrin. So you see over here an amazing thing. Mitzarecho, this was Sanhedrin Gedoyla. They heard Torah Mamish from Moshe Rabbeinu. They were the giants of the generation. How is it they came into Eretz Yisrael and they said they have to sit and learn? There's what to be done. There's work to be done. There's hashpah to be done on Klal Yisrael. Baharaya, look what happened. No, heavy mamayit basic lasoik bat Torah. And then they really should have done something else. So how did they even make this mistake? What were they thinking? There it says, I think you see from here something very significant. There's a very fine line. And this is the line I think that the Alter taught and lived. And that was, Mitzad Echod, you could be the greatest Godel. The Sanhedrin Gedoyel is Shiniach Moshe. But Hebi Mamayit Be'esek Vasoik Batorah. The Torah is infinite. Esek HaTorah is imperative. No matter how great you are, if you are to remain in the position of greatness, of leadership, and of human greatness, then you have to be Mamayit Be'esek Vasoik Batorah. There's no limit. Mitzad Sheni? When there's an achrayus to do, and you don't pick up on that achrayus, and you don't perform that achrayus the way it's supposed to be done, then midin arvus, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebuzeh, that you are held responsible for everything that happens out there. When you were doing something which was reasonable, memayit be'esek v'asoik b'torah, of you miscalculated. You drew the line in the wrong place. You didn't realize that now is the time to get up and close the Gemara and get out there and do for Klal Yisrael. Then whatever happens, midin arvus, is your responsibility. And I think that's really was the essence of what Slabotka taught. Mitzad Echot, it was godless in Torah. Slabotka produced giants. The Alter, he had number of his Talmidim who were already out in the world after they had learned and become Gedolim. And Reb David Leibowitz was one of them, and there were many others. And then he called them all back. He's making another Koilo now. This is a special Koilo, the Kovna Koilo. He's making this special Koilo. 5 years, Agav, only 5 years. Wouldn't allow any more than that because they have to realize they still have an achrayus, and their learning is limited. It's not like you got forever, so take your time. But 5 solid years, and you have an achrayus to Klal Yisrael. And he called back from positions around Europe his best talmidim, and his 5 more years of learning to perfect their godless, to expand their godless, to reach even higher heights. They were rabbonim already. They were out in the world. They were teaching. They were rabbonim. They had already achieved greatness. But no, more greatness. Mitzad Sheni, after that, they have an achrayus to go out into the world, and they taka spread out into the world. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They went to America. Eretz Yisrael those days was as dangerous as America, and many people felt it was even more dangerous in those days. For various reasons, I'm not talking about the physical danger, spiritual danger, and they had that duality of godless, the emphasis on godless in Torah and Musar, and really that was a whole another piece of the whole thing. And Mitzad Sheni, the sense of I'm preparing myself now, but I have an achrayus, the call of this generation. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think, was the first one that issued, and really. Probably stemmed from the Goyin. It sounded like the Goyin was preparing the world for that, but Rabbi Yisrael formalized it, the call to go out and to be Mekarev and to be Mashpia and to teach and this, and the Alter took it to new heights, you know, in terms of godless of his Talmidim, and at the same time, Achrayus for Klal Yisrael. So that was like a very, I think, very special, and Lamaisa, the greatest. The big names of the leadership of the next generation, both here and in Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, Ruba de Ruba, were Talmide Slabotka. There's another piece too, I think, which is also I think, very significant to mention too. And this is the way I understand it. I can't say that it's it's quoted or it's indicated in any of the history books, but I understand it this way. They say that, this I heard from Talmidim that were in Slabodka, they say that there were big battles after the Shmuzin, that they argued and argued and argued, and Amitzar Echo, the Shmuzin were uplifting, and if you look at the Arat Sofon, you see the uplift more than the battle, but you see these rayonis that mamish elevated people to really feel on this heightened spiritual level and connected them with the Shemayim and connected the neshama with the Rebbeinu Shalelem and all types of sensitivities and bein odom l'chaveroi and almost what would seem extreme levels of care and concern and love hakpoda in the feelings and in anything bein odom l'chaveroi and integrity and erlichkeit and so forth. Mitzad sheni, the emphasis on this is derived from the Chazal. The way we like to say it is, he wasn't into interpretation, that's taking his own ideas and putting it in, but rather in explanation, drawing out from the Chazal. And they battled to argue whether he has the right and the basis and the hechruch to be able to prove this concept from the Chazal. And I believe, and that was part of the power, because they sensed that what they were getting was not original ideas, personal opinion, philosophy, conjecture, but rather the Dvar Hashem. This, the Ramban is talking to me. This is clearly his message. Rashi is saying exactly this, and that's clear, and he's not saying anything else, and he can't be saying anything else, and this is what he means. And if ever there was the introduction of an outside idea which wasn't justified and indicative in the text, it was a battle, because that can't be, because we want to hear the Dvar Hashem. And with all the love that they had for the altar and all the respect that they had for him and all the kedusha that they saw there, but no. And that's what he wanted. It's not about me, it's not about what I say, it's not about my ideas, but it's all what Chazal say. It's clear, that's what it says. You know, the Chassam Sofer used to say, I don't mind if you say over my Torah in your name, but please don't say your Torah in my name. And I would just add to that, I don't know if I have a right to, but I would say, I wonder if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam maybe feels the same way, that, you know, Mele, if you say over his Torah and you say it in your name, all right, it's not so terrible. But please don't say your Torah in his name. And that's what they didn't do. The Alter wouldn't tolerate that. You can't say your ideas and say, that's what Chazal say. What, how do you know? Well, mir kump doisaze. I think that's what it is. It wasn't about thinking. It wasn't about guessing. It was about, and I think, forgive me, that's what the power came from. The power of his authority came from the fact that he's connecting us with Torah, he's connecting us with Emes, he's connecting us with the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's connecting us with the Shomayim, and therefore we feel so comfortable and motivated because it's all real. It's not anybody's personal opinion. It's not it's not emotional. I mean, it could be emotional, but it's not someone's emotional feeling. But it's rather authoritative. It's part of that Masorah that we receive by Har Sinai, and therefore it has that power and that authority and that hashpah and that influence. And I think that was also part of the secret of the powerful effect that that Slabodka had. I just want to maybe conclude with one. You know, it's the Yahrzeit, and should be a schus, the neshama should have an aliyah. One shmuz it's brought down, and it's a little hard. There's some issues with it, but the concept is so revolutionary, and yet seems so indicative in the Chazal. That I think maybe it's a good dogma of what it was all about. The Mishnah Seichras HaPoyelim says that if you hire day workers and you're Pesach Imam Mezoinos, you make up, there's meals included. So you have to work and you have meals included. He's not Yoitza his Chiyuv to feed the meals, and even if he gives them Kisuda Shlema B'Shaitoi. Suda Shlema B'Shaitoi was the epitome of lavish dining. There was nothing like it. The Suda of Shlema HaMelech. And even if you'll give him Kisuda Shlema B'Shaitoi, you didn't fulfill your obligation to give them Mezoinus. Shehem B'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So the Alter seems to be concerned. What's going on over here? And the Mishnah even says, somebody came, I forgot who it was, came and he said that he hired workers and he made up mezoinus. He says, go back and tell him that the deal is al manash ein lochem olay el pasu kitnius bilvat. Tell him what the menu is. If you tell him the menu, that's the menu. If I say food, then who knows? But I said, this is the menu. You're getting bread and beans. So then, that's okay. So he said, what's the pshat? This is like this. He says, you take this poor day worker. He's getting paid a couple bucks a day to work. And you give him the greatest. You give him a seven-course dinner. Now forget Suda Shlema B'Shaitoi. Give him a seven-course dinner. The guy's going to be thrilled. This is the best day of his life. He never ate like this as long as, since the day he was born. And you'll give him Suda Shlema B'Shaitoi. You're still not Yoitza. Why? Because I said Mezoinus. And I didn't specify the specific menu. And the Mishnah says, Shehem b'nei Avrom Yitzchak v'Yaakov. So the Alter says, what you see the Pshat is like this. Avada on a conscious level, these guys are going to be satisfied. You're paying me for my day's work. You made up to feed me. You're feeding me Kesuda Shlema B'Shaitoi. How can I ask for more? Can't ask for more than that. There is nothing. What more is there? But Vaista Shehem b'nei Avrom Yitzchak v'Yaakov, that won't be enough. Why? Because they're really from royalty. They have this royalty in them. They shouldn't be working as a $10 a day worker. That's beneath their dignity. And they feel that pain. And since you said mezoinus, and to satisfy their craving that they have for food, you have to satisfy them on a subconscious level as well. That the chiyuvei ha-Torah, unless you spell it out beferish, you spell out beferish, you can make any deal you want with people, right? If this is the menu, this is what you're getting. But if you leave it vague, then since it's vague, you're talking about satisfying the ultimate of his desires and his needs. What's mezoinus for him? Nothing. Nothing is mezoinus. There's nothing that can satisfy his subconscious because mezoinus is to satisfy. You're satisfying me as a day worker, but I'm not satisfied as a day worker because subconsciously I feel I'm Bnei Avram. I'm Ben Melech. This is beneath my dignity. So subconsciously it's painful. Mimela, he says, you'll never be Yoitza your responsibility because Shem Bnei Avram Yitzchak, which means that part of contractual obligation in our halachic system is not only satisfying the conscious needs of a person, but even the subconscious needs. Now, if you beferish, spell out what it is, so there's no problem. But if I leave it vague, and I'm saying, according to what's, I'm going to take care of your food needs. My food needs, on a subconscious level, you can't take care of because I'm in such pain because of what I'm doing. So he says, you see this concept that as far as the Das Torah is concerned, that in honoring your contractual obligation to someone else, there are times when you even have to take into consideration not just the conscious thoughts that the person has, but even to satisfy his subconscious. What it is they could discuss, there's what to discuss about this, but this idea of taking Chazal and seeing, it doesn't make any sense. If you give him Suda Shlema B'Shaitoi, you're not Yoitza, because Shem Bnei Avrom Yitzchok Yaakov. And to recognize that that's dealing with some inner feeling, and to build on that, literally a new halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You don't find any place in Shulchan Aruch that you're obligated, when you make a contract, you're obligated to the subconscious needs. But that's the world that the Alter built. He built and he elevated, he lifted his Talmidim. And someone told me that they overheard once a conversation at one of the Asifas of the Gedolim, and somebody was speaking, saying something, and two of the others were sitting there and said, "At Kemalishka learned in Slabotka. He didn't learn in Slabotka. He didn't understand things the way we understand it. It was a different look on life. It was a different feeling. It was a different sense of human greatness and the magnitude of human responsibility and the dakis, the ever so slight nuances of perfection and of therefore demands in Bein Olam L'Chaveiroi that the Torah makes on us. And that together with this sense of responsibility for Klal Yisrael and this sense of Gadlus in Torah that created a generation that was so powerful and was able to accomplish so much. The Rosh Hashiva used to say that even though in Slabotka there wasn't necessarily a unique derech in learning, they had different Rosh Hashivas at different kufas, but he says, but the Alter who spanned the broad, and even after he passed away, his Talmidim continued, to the yeshiva both in Europe and in Hebron and in Eretz Yisrael when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he says that the analysis of Musar had a hashpah on the learning as well, that their learning became more analytical because of the rigorous and intense analysis that the Alter put to understanding Chazal, and Memela, that analytical approach had an effect even on the way they learned. So the world is certainly a different place because of the influence of this one giant, and we're all the beneficiaries of this godless, and Yehi Zichroi Boruch.